Going to read a few quotations here. I told in Sunday school, I found this book at a thrift store. It's really got some neat sayings in it. Some different quotes. I'm just going to read a couple of them real quick. This is on the subject of heaven. The world has forgotten it is in its concern with left and right that there is an above and below. Our annual church meeting was rather like heaven. Many we expected to see there were not there. All right. He who is on the road to heaven will not be content to go there alone. That's a good one. The entrance fee into heaven, the kingdom of heaven, is nothing. The annual subscription is everything. No one gets to heaven because he is poor, or to hell because he is rich. Though Christians believe in heaven, sometimes they act as though going there were a calamity. Ouch. Okay, let's pray. All right. This morning's message may be kind of unusual, maybe from some aspect, but it's something I've preached before, but not here. All right? So, it's like in the military now, if you get offended or you can't do your job, you just hold up a red card. So if you get offended or you can't handle it, just hold up a red card. And I'll understand why you're going to leave at that time. But we are truly blessed as Christians, are we not? We really have something that we can hold on. We have an anchor in these times that we can hold on to. We have something to grasp onto. But I know there's many people that see us on the streets. There's many people that see us out in the public, at work. They see us all over the place, around the cities here. And they wonder, you know, why. So this message this morning is titled, Why We Preach the Gospel. It's kind of a vague term, but it's the best I could come up with. And there's people that come in, and I'm sure there's people that have visited this church in the past and say, I saw these people preaching, street preaching, and I got to go see what makes that place tick. Why in the world are they doing this? Why in the world do we hand out tracts to perfect strangers? Why do we witness on the job? Why do we go up to a perfect stranger and say, let me tell you about my blessed Savior? Let me tell you about an anchor that you can have in these times of turmoil in your life. Let me tell you about the anchor that I have. Yes, times are tough, but I know He'll be there for me. Let me tell you about Him. Why do people, I'm sure some people pull in the parking lot and start seeing these bumper stickers and magnets are going like, what in the world are we getting into here? Why do we do that? Why do I always look in my rearview mirror just to see people's reactions when they pull up behind my car? It's funny. I get a kick out of it. It doesn't bother me at all with it. It's like some are like, you know, talking to the guy next to him, you know. But then I look in my rearview mirror and I see a little kid sitting next to his parent and say, Mom, what does that mean? Boy, she's gonna have a lot to answer for at that moment. Or that dad, what does that mean? Jesus saved. What does that mean? What does it mean if I died today, would I go to heaven or hell? What is hell? Whew. Well, I hope that's going on. I hope that's going on in cars behind me. And you pull up behind Brother Peterson's car and you think, what in the world? This guy's a nut. What a nutcase. Amen. It's crazy for the right reasons. Man, living. But this morning is, why do we do these things? Why do we preach the gospel? Why do we take somebody who's down and out and share the gospel with them? Because really, to put everything in a nutshell, because it works. We know it works. It's the truth. Nobody has been able to prove it wrong in all these many years and all these many centuries. It still stands true that Jesus saves, that the gospel is the only way. Now, the reason I say it's unusual is because this is mainly kind of a refresher for us as Christians, hopefully to build us up and make us hopefully want to witness more and preach the gospel more. It's also for people who have never heard before and not saved to think about what we talk about. We don't. It's not natural to go out on a street corner and start talking about something you believe in. I mean, no, you don't see anybody on the street corner say, "I love pizza! Woo! Pizza's the way to go! I like Jack's. You can get them for $4 for $10, man. It's cheap and it's good." You know, you don't hear anybody preaching about food on the street corners. "I like the Vikings." Yeah, you'd be laughed off the corner quicker than we are. You know, I can predict that with all, I'll put $10,000 that the Vikings will not lose today. It's a bye week. All right. All right, let's talk. The Word of God is the most important thing in our lives. And I just want to share something that he showed me a while back. And like I said, I'm on medication, so just bear with me. All right, let's have a word of prayer. Dear Jesus, we thank you so much for all you've done for us. It says in Psalm chapter 12, verse 6 and 7, that you preserved this word that we have sitting here today. You preserved it for us. Your hand is on this. Your hand wrote this. And we can trust it to be true and right like you are true and right. Thank you for dying on the cross for our sins. What can we do to repay but work for you and do what we can? I pray that this message would be a blessing. I pray that your Holy Spirit would speak through me and that my flesh would just be out the door for these next few minutes. Thank you so much for this opportunity. I pray that it will not be squandered in your name. Amen. All right, let's turn in our Bibles to 2 Peter chapter 3. 2 Peter chapter 3. Very familiar verse to those who have been coming to church for any minute, any amount of time. Excuse me. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9. "The Lord is not slack concerning His promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance." What a blessed verse. You know, we sit here, this is just already I got them on a rabbit trail. I haven't got through the first verse. It's an amazing thing how we sit here and say, "Lord, why haven't you come back yet? My lands." Here we're sitting here working. We're under fire all the time. People are making fun of us. I'm sick of it. Why don't you come back right now and take us home? Because we count slackness. We think the Lord's being slack. We think He's not doing His job right. There's still people out there that need to hear. There's still people out there that need to get saved. He's long-suffering. There's still somebody out there that we need to talk to. We can't get mad at Him for not coming back. Yeah, we're anxious to get out of here and go to heaven. I'm as anxious as anybody else. I can't wait to see Christ. I can't wait. But we can't question what He's doing. Everything He does is right. Why He hasn't come back yet, I don't know, but I got a pretty good idea. Maybe there's somebody at your work that still needs to hear the truth. Maybe there's somebody that's going to be on the street next week that we're preaching to that's going to listen. Maybe there's a door we knock on next week that person says, "Man, I've been looking for something real. Thank you for coming." And we get to see that person saved. And who knows when that person accepts Christ if the trumpet doesn't sound. We have to work like that. As Christians, we have to keep telling people. My first point, why do we do what we do? Because there is an any. There is an any. God is not willing that any should perish. Every one of us in our lifetime was an any. We still are. And at one point in our life, somebody handed us a tract, or somebody at work took the time to sit down with the Bible and show us some verses, or talk to us, or say, "Hey, I'm praying for you." Or they're street preaching, and maybe they didn't respond properly when you were street preaching, but they heard it, and they went home, and it made them think about it. Because there's an any. That's why we go out and preach on the street. That's why we go out and knock on doors and talk to people about Christ, because there's somebody out there that still needs to hear it. And they're in any, just like we were at one time. Because God is not willing that any should perish. Put your name in that spot. Put your lost relative in that spot. Yes, they may have said no to you for many, many, many years, but there's still going to be that glimmer of hope. You never know. You can't give up. There's still somebody left. We have to keep moving forward. If we stop, everything is still going to keep moving, and we're going back. We have to keep moving forward. No matter how hard it gets, no matter how many times we're told no, there's still somebody out there that needs to be saved. That somebody you talk to is somebody's mother, is somebody's dad, somebody's brother, somebody's sister. That guy that looks like Brother Spurgeon did before on his track back there, before he got saved, he has hair down the middle of his back, and he looks like he could rip your head off and throw it in the trash can. You know, he's got spike bracelets and spike earrings and spike necklace, or he's got something. He's just an intimidating looking guy. But that guy could be somebody that his mother's been praying for him for 20 plus years to get saved. And what we have to give him is more powerful than what made him dress like that. You meet some guy or gal that's got the goth, you know, is all black and white face and earrings. It looks like they rolled around in a tackle box, you know. And they got, you know, they just like, well, oh, I don't want to talk, you know, kind of, I don't want to talk to them. You have to. We have to. We can't back away. That person is somebody that needs to hear the truth. They're in any. God's not willing that any should perish. We have to, as Christians, have to get that attitude about us that no matter who it is, we have to talk to them. Because they have to hear. They have to hear what we have to say. We have the truth. And they don't. Luke chapter 16, verses 29 and 31. Abraham saith unto him, they have Moses and the prophets, let them hear them. And he said unto him, if they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded though one rose from the dead. Abraham talking to the rich man in hell. And he's telling him, hey, if they have Moses and the prophets, they won't hear them. What in the world? We're Moses and the prophets to them. We're Jesus and His saving grace to them. They can't come to heaven and have an excuse that we never told them. Otherwise, we got to answer for it. We are the light of the world. We're the salt. We're the saving knowledge that they need. We have what they need. If they don't hear it, that's on them. That's on them. They're saying no to the truth. They're saying no to the shed blood of Jesus Christ. When you witness to them and they say, get out of my face, I don't want to hear it. I don't want anything to do with your religion. Went to a door yesterday, a guy said, no soliciting, no politics, no religion, go away. That's what the sign said on his door. I wanted to knock on his door and say, what do you mean by religion? I just want to know. I'm not violating, I don't want to violate your sign here, but I just want to know what religion. Everybody talks about religion. You come to work, what do you hear about? You hear about investments. You hear about taxes. You hear about government. That's their religion. You hear about sports. That's a religion. You hear about everything. And they name it religion. But you, when you talk about Jesus, hold on, now you crossed the line here. But it's the truth, and they got to hear it. There is an any, and we as saved, Bible-believing Christians need to tell it. We can't keep it in here. We do that so they'll hear. We preach on the street so they'll hear. What they do with it, we're just planting a seed. If we get to a person and they've been well-watered and they're ripe for harvest, hey, harvest them big time. Maybe they're a seed that's already been planted and we just need to water. We don't know what our purpose is at that time, but we need to keep going to the field. We need to keep laboring in the fields. So the first, then Romans 10:14 says, how then shall they call on Him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe on Him in whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? It's not, not everybody in the Twin Cities is going to come to this church and hear the truth preached from the pulpit. Not everybody, we can't reach possibly everybody in the Twin Cities area in our lifetime. If we all quit our jobs and went 24 hours a day knocking on doors, there'd be some mad people, 1 o'clock in the morning, hey, I just want to talk to you about the Lord today. Get out of here. 1 o'clock in the morning. Nut. But we need to witness to who we can. Every one of us works with people that the rest of us don't. Every one of us obviously has relatives that aren't related to the rest of us. We need to witness to them. We need to talk to them because they're an enemy. God saw fit to tell us the truth one day, and we accepted. How hard were we? How long did it take us to accept it? It took me 29 years. How long has that person been prayed for? We have no idea. We don't know if anybody's been... How many of them have been deceived by another teaching or another church? We don't know. But we have to tell them the truth. We have to tell them the truth. Because we are... To them, we are the light. We are Jesus and His saving grace to those people. How shall they hear without a preacher? We got to tell them. We got to tell them. We have the truth. Second thing. Let's turn over to Mark chapter 16. All these verses you've heard many, many times. It's just simple truth. A simple truth that, I don't know, it's just, in anything, you always got to go back to the basics. Because we got to remember where we came from. We got to remember why we're in this. Why do we come to this church? Why do we go and do what we do? We just have to keep reminding ourselves. We have to keep going forward. We got to edify one another and keep doing the right things. Mark chapter 16, verse 15, and he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. First thing was because there isn't any. Second thing is we're commanded to. We're commanded to. We have too many people out there on our workspace and our work and our job environments that haven't heard the truth, that have never read this Bible. We are told to. When you're told by your boss to do something at work, you just kind of say, maybe. I'll think about it. I'll figure around to it. How come you didn't do that? I didn't feel like it. I didn't want to. I was tired. Okay, why don't you go at home and sleep then, and I'll let you know when to come back to work. Why do we do that to the God? Why do we do that to the Savior of our souls? He commanded us to go and preach the gospel to every creature. He commanded it. Luke chapter 9, verse 60 said, Jesus said unto him, Let the dead bury the dead, but go thou and preach the kingdom of God. Here, this is interesting. I just saw this yesterday when I was reading it again. People go, and we have relatives that we go to their funerals, and we know there's lost people there. We know there's people that have never heard the saving gospel of Jesus Christ. So we... and all the things that go on at these funerals are, it's really kind of, you're like, really? What's that smoke stuff? What's that water slinging stuff? What is all this junk? What is kneeling and bobbing and weaving and, doing the wave? And what is all this stuff? Why are we doing all this stuff? I mean, if the guy knew the truth, we'd be happy, we'd be excited. But it says here, let the dead bury the dead. All the people there who are not saved, who have never received Christ as a Savior, are dead. They're dead. Let the dead bury the dead. But we can go and share the gospel of Christ. We can go to these funerals and share the gospel of Christ. I know the context is here is, let the dead bury the dead and come follow me. Follow Christ. Do what He'd want to do. We can go to these funerals of unsaved people, unsaved co-workers and relatives, and tell the gospel that they've never heard. You got some guy in a dress up in the front lying to him all the way through. Why don't you get up and say, hey, you know what he said isn't right? You realize that? Hey, I know your friend. I knew him very well. I'm sad he's gone. But we're all going to die one day. What about you? Do you know that if you were in that casket, do you know where you'd spend eternity? What an opportunity. They'd get mad at me. So what? They'd get mad at you. They'd remember it. They'd keep thinking about it all week long. You remember? I can't believe he said that to me. I can't believe he said if I know where to go to heaven and hell. The more they talk about it, the more they're going to think about it. And when the steam goes down, maybe they'll come and talk to you about it. Yeah, I really didn't appreciate what you talked about. Say, I just care about you. I want you to know the truth. Did you hear what that guy said? It's not real. It's not true. It's not right. I want you to know the truth. I'm commanded to tell you this. If I don't, I have to answer to God for that, and that's something I really don't want to do. I really don't want to stand before God one day realizing I dropped the ball when it comes to my coworkers. We have to witness. We go out in the street. We hand out tracts. We have bumper stickers all over our car because there's an any, because we're commanded to. There's not a command in the Bible that says, thou shalt put a bumper sticker on your car with a verse on it. There's nothing in there like that. But, man, a living. After we sit and think about what the Lord did for us, isn't that just the least we could do? I mean, put a track somewhere at work, leave it in the bathroom and hope nobody sees you and run out, you know. But maybe somebody's going to see it. Somebody's going to read it. Somebody's going to care about it. Somebody's going to, you know, never mind, we won't go there. But Acts 20:20 says, and how I kept back nothing that it was profitable unto you, but have showed you and have taught you publicly and from house to house. Street preaching, knocking on doors, talking to people, talking to our neighbors, telling them about the Lord. Why? Because we're commanded to. We have the truth. He gave His all for us. Why can't we give our all for Him? Why is it? Third thing is, let's turn to Luke chapter 16. Luke chapter 16. Another familiar passage. I mean, how many verses have you heard on, or how many sermons have you heard on the rich man and Lazarus and the prodigal son and all these many, many sermons we've heard? It's just they're so rich. There really are in stories and sermons. Verse 22, and it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by by angels in Abraham's bosom. And the rich man also died and was buried. And in hell, he lifted up his eyes, being in torments, and seeth Abraham afar off, and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. Why do we do what we do? Why do we go out and preach on the street and look like a total lunatic? Why do we go to doors and hand out tracts and tell coworkers about Christ? Because there's a hell. Hell is a real place. It's a place of fire. It's a place of torment. Oh, that's just a story. That's just a parable in the Bible. Well, parables are meant to teach. What is that teaching us? Tell me, Mr. Jehovah's Witness, what is that teaching us? There's a hell. There's a place to go if you reject Christ. And it's not a good place. It's not a nice place. Could you stand before God one day at the white throne and see a coworker standing there that you could have told, that we could have told, say, there's a hell. It's real. It wouldn't be real. How can I know it's real? Everybody uses it as a swear word. You take whatever anybody uses as a swear word these days, and it's probably real. Hell. They use Jesus Christ. They use God as swear words. Why is it? Because it's in their heart. They already know it. Down deep, they already know there's a hell. I get it. Guys at work that say, oh man, it's cold as hell outside. I said, think about what you just said. Think about it. Cold as hell, man. It's hot as hell. Oh, it's cool as hell. You know, on and on and on. It's in their heart. Hell is no fun. I'm going to go there and party with my friends. Hey, have at it. If you think that's going to be a great time, while you're standing there burning forever and your friends show up, are you going to embrace them and hope you can party? Come on. Think again. There's a hell. We have to go out there and tell these people, hey, the road you're on is not good. Where you're going is a terrible place. It's a terrible place, a place of torment, a place of torture. Mark chapter 9. Turn over to Mark chapter 9. Oh, I'm in the wrong book. Mark chapter 9, verse 43. If thy hand offend thee, cut it off. It is better for thee to enter into life maimed. Excuse me. Better enter into life maimed than have two hands to go into hell, into the fire that never shall be quenched, where the worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched. And if thy foot offend thee, cut it off. It is better for thee to enter into life than having two feet to be cast into hell, into the fire that shall never be quenched, where the worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched. And if thine eye offend thee, pluck it out. It is better for thee to go enter into the kingdom of God with one eye than having two eyes to be cast into hell fire, where the worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched. You think he's trying to get something across? You think he's trying to teach us something here? It's not a fun place. I got a guy at work right now. He's on my laundry crew. He's missing both legs from the knee down. He got him caught in a corn picker in a farm accident. Got his legs cut off. It's better for him to enter into life maimed than go to hell. It's better for him to sit in that wheelchair for his life and get over his circumstances than to enter into hell. It's worse than that. Can you imagine sitting there? He said the machine wasn't working, so he kicked it and his boot caught. And all of a sudden it started sucking him in. Can you imagine what that's like? The pain, the agony, the helplessness. He can't do anything about it but scream and yell and hope somebody comes and helps him. That's the way it is. You're going to hell. You're helpless without Christ. You can scream and yell and ask for man's help. You can ask for the government's help. You can ask for money. You can ask for riches. But at that point, it's not going to matter. You're going to hell. And it's a helpless place. There's nothing you can do about it except accept Christ as your Savior. And we have that news to give to people. He screamed and yelled, and he thought he was yelling at the house that he thought his neighbor that he knew, the neighbors that he knew. And all of a sudden, out of the tree line over here, a guy came running through and helped him and shut the machine off. And it was somebody he didn't even know lived there. The guy just happened to be, he lives in the cities and just happened to be up there that weekend. I was blessed to be able to say, look, that was no coincidence. That was no coincidence that you're here today talking with me. And I got to give them the gospel and share the gospel with them. There's people like that. Another guy in my crew, he was abandoned at 11 years old. Left on the street, and he told me his story, and he said, my life has been hell. Why would he say hell? Why did he say that? Because that's the worst it can get. That's as bad as it gets. Hell is as bad as it gets. Why would you compare your life to hell? Why would you do that? Unfortunately, hell is not where it stops. Revelation 20 says, and those who were not found written in the book of life were thrown in a lake of fire. Oh, you imagine somebody getting out of hell saying, I'm glad that's over with. They're standing before God Himself. okay, I'm glad I'm done. That must have been purgatory. I'm glad it's over with. Now I get to go to heaven, right? I don't know. Open the books. I don't see his name here. Must not have accepted your son. I'm sorry. Depart from me. I never knew you. In the everlasting fire. Prepared for the devil and his angels. It wasn't prepared for you, but you decided to follow the devil and his angels instead of accept Christ as your Savior. That wasn't made for you. He's not willing that any should perish, but you decided to perish. Whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. You chose perishing over everlasting life. I'm sorry. Well, I just thought Jesus was something you said when you hit your thumb with a hammer. No! He's your Savior. He died on the cross for you. And you denied it. You swore at the guy that was preaching that on the street. You slammed the door on the guy that tried to talk to you about Jesus Christ. You walked away at the lunch period when your coworker tried to tell you about the truth of Jesus Christ. You chose to deny Christ. You have to spend eternity burning forever. That's not fair. It is. You had 45, 50, 80 years to decide that and you chose not to. I did everything I possibly could to give you eternal life and you turned it down. There's a hell. It's real and people are burning right now screaming, "Don't walk past that guy. That's my brother. Go witness to my family. Go tell my friends and my relatives. Go tell my classmates and my coworkers. Go tell them I don't want them to come here." They're not sitting there popping the next keg and getting ready to party with their friends when they show up. What a rude awakening that's going to be. We need to tell them. We can't sit here and criticize people for what they say. We have to tell them the truth. We have it. Where were we when we got saved? How many times did we deny Christ before we accepted Christ, before we got saved? There's a hell. There's an any. We are commanded to tell the truth. And there's a hell. There is a hell. We can't get around it. God said it in His Word. I didn't write it. He did. He talks about hell more than anything else in the Bible. There's a reason behind that. There's a reason behind that, Mr. Bible Changer, who changes it to the grave. Unbelievable what people are doing these days. There is a hell, and it's real. The last reason we do what we do. Turn to, you don't have to turn anywhere. Don't worry about it. Because of what He did for us. Because of what He did for us. Because of Him, there is a choice. Whosoever believeth in Him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. Because of Him, I have a choice. I don't have to go to hell and burn forever. I don't have to go to the lake of fire and be tortured and tormented for eternity. I have a choice. Christ came and died on the cross. He lived a perfect life. Died, went to hell, paid for my sins, and gave me an opportunity to get saved and go to heaven. And I took it. My life has been so different since I got saved. I can't tell you. He gave His all. Why can't I do it for Him? I can go to somebody at a gas station and I can talk to them about the weather. I can talk to them about the sports. I can talk to them about, you know, anything. But when it comes to say, "Hey, can I give you this just to read on your break? It's about Christ and what He can do for you." What are they going to do to you? Spit on you? They can't afford to lose their job. They can't holler at you, scream at you. They may say some snide remark. But you did what you're supposed to do because of what He did for us. We'll hand them pieces of paper to pay for our gas. Why can't we hand them a piece of paper that's going to change their eternity? It's just a piece of paper. but it's got the truth on it. Because of Him, there is a choice. Because of Him, there is a gift. Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. It's a gift. Because of Him, there's a gift. A gift of eternal life. There again, another choice to be made. June 6, 1993, I accepted the gift of salvation. What a blessing. I know when I die, I get to see my Savior face to face. I don't give a rip about a mansion. I really don't. The more I live, the more I'm just going to be excited to see Him come. I get to see my Savior face to face and spend eternity singing to Him, giving praises to Him, and talking to Him. Hey, what did you mean when you wrote that? You know what? That's amazing. That bothered me all the time. I read the Bible, that story, that verse right there. I always had trouble with that verse. What did you mean when you wrote that? And you're like, oh, wow. Oh, and I get to spend eternity with that. You know, oh, that's just going to be amazing. Because I accepted His gift, His free gift of salvation. What have you done with that today? What do we do with it in our everyday life? Do we think about what Christ did for us? Does that spur us on to say more and do more for Christ? Because of what He did for us, it is finished. John 19:30, He's on the cross. He utters those famous words. It is finished. Because of what He did, it is finished. There's nothing I can do within myself to get saved. There's nothing I can do. He's already given us a gift. He already paid the price. He said it's finished. He didn't say, I made the down payment, now you start making payments. He said, it's finished. I've done it all. You don't have to do anything else. Just trust me. What I say is true. And accept me as your Savior. Because of Him, it's finished. Because of Him, because of what He did, there's a choice. Because of Him, there's a gift. Now that most everybody here today, I know. I've been to your church for a while now, and I know who you are. I've heard testimonies of your salvation. We need to do more. We really do. I speak to myself. Maybe you're doing all you possibly can, and I'm sorry if I'm offending you. But we need to do more. We need to do all we possibly can. Because there isn't any, because we're commanded to, because there's a hell, and because of what He did for us. There's so much more to be done. Obviously, the Lord hasn't come back because there's still people out there that are wanting to hear the truth. That's my take on it. There's still people that need to be saved. What are we doing? Are we doing our part? Let's pray. Lord, thank You for this time. Thank You for this morning. Thank You for the opportunity to preach Your Word, sing praises to You this morning. And Lord, I just pray that we as Christians would think more about what we need to do and as Christians and do more for You. And Lord, I pray that we go out and tell others about Your saving grace. We're their only hope. We might be the only ones that can tell that person about Christ. Lord, thank You so much for dying on the cross for us. Thank You so much for everything You've done for us. If there's anybody here this morning that's not sure that they've been saved, not sure they've been born again, haven't asked Christ into their heart, maybe today's that day. I don't know who you are. I don't know why everybody's here this morning. I got a pretty good idea. But maybe this is the first time anybody's ever taken the gospel and made it clear that there is a hell and there is a heaven. That there is a Savior who died to pay for the sins. Pay for your sins. Your works aren't good enough. Your baptism isn't good enough. Your church isn't the way to go. It's only through Christ and what He did for us. If there's somebody here that doesn't know for sure they're on their way to heaven and would like to know, we have people that will take you aside in a private room and tell you. And I pray that you'd make that decision today. Most important decision you'll ever make in your life. If there's anybody else that just wants to come up and pray this morning, the altar's open. To stand and hymnal, turn to page 241. Have you any room for Jesus? Sing the first and the last verses. Thanks for coming. Tonight we have a prayer meeting at 5:30, and then evening service at 6. Brother Caribou is going to be preaching tonight, so make sure it's always an exciting time. So make sure you come back tonight, and we'll see you tonight, hopefully. Let's pray. Lord, thank you again for this time, and thank you for the Word of God and how precious it is, how precious what you did for us is. Lord, help us never to forget that. Help us always to encourage one another to stay strong and read our Bibles and pray for each other. And Lord, help us just to continue on until you return for us. We can't wait for that day to happen either. And Lord, thank you. Give everybody safety as you travel to our houses.
Bring us back tonight safely and help us have another good time around your word. In your name we pray. Amen. Thanks again. Thanks for coming.